Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to discuss the subject of infant baptism. Infant baptism. And the question is, can you prove infant baptism by the Bible? Well, a preacher friend of mine has said many times, you can prove anything by the Bible, but just because you can prove a thing doesn't mean that it's sound doctrine. You see, most false doctrines are proved by the Bible. The Roman Catholic Church and other churches that practice infant baptism actually look to Scripture for, and I keep saying this word proof, but I'm saying it with quotation marks around it, for proof that infant baptism is commanded by God. Now what we're going to do is we're going to examine the Bible, and we're going to examine what they have done with the Bible to, open quote, prove, close quote, their point. Now, the way they prove water baptism is essential for salvation is this. They use the verses that you're getting ready to hear and then rest the Scripture to prove the point. You understand, I keep using the word prove, and I'm using it in a derogatory sense because it doesn't mean that the Bible teaches infant baptism or that the Bible doctrine is infant baptism. It just shows you that the Bible is used as a proof text for infant baptism. Quite a different thing. Now we're going to look at a few scriptures, and I'll try not to go crazy with you because I know you're listening on the radio and it can be difficult to follow along if the preacher goes too fast. The subject is infant baptism, and the question is it scriptural? Well, look at the scriptures that are used to, open quote, prove, close quote, infant baptism. First of all, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. And if you know your Bible, you know that's where Jesus Christ was baptized, and he was baptized in water by John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness, he said in verse 15. Now, what you need to understand is that Jesus' baptism did not regenerate him. Jesus' baptism did not save him. The baptism of Jesus Christ manifested him to John and to Israel. And this is where the Lord spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is where John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. It was a confirmation. This is your Messiah. So while Jesus Christ was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, it had absolutely nothing to do with salvation in any way, not his or anyone else's. All right, John chapter 3, verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. An interesting verse, oftentimes used to prove baptismal regeneration, that is, that you're saved by being baptized in water. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, he's talking to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then after this, when this discourse is done, Jesus and his disciples went to the land of Judea in verse 22, and there he tarried with them and baptized. So people might be inclined to believe that this baptism saves, because he says, if you're not born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I've talked to more people who believe that that water in John chapter 3, verse 5 is baptism than who believe that that water is your physical birth. But may I show you something? In John chapter 3, look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus Christ interprets the verse for you, verse 5, in verse 6. Except a man be born of water, that's his flesh birth in verse 6. And of the Spirit, that's his spirit birth in verse 6. Do you see what's going on there? There's no baptism in John chapter 3. Water birth is your physical birth in the flesh. All right, another verse that is used to substantiate, support, prove, whatever you want to call it, infant baptism is Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And in this verse, Matthew 28, 19, Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to baptize. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But you know something? He never said here that baptism saves, and he never said here to baptize babies. We're talking about infant baptism and whether there's literal scriptural proof. I'll show you the verses that are used, but they don't say anything about baptizing babies or that baptism saves. He said, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do you know something? I've taught a lot of people, and I've baptized a lot of people. They were all adults, and they had already confessed that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, that's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. All right, here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22, commonly used by the Church of Christ to prove baptismal regeneration. That is, that you can be saved by being baptized in water. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 22, actually talks about your conscience and your good conversation in Christ. But nevertheless, the key verse is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and then the other one is verse 20, but verse 21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, people say, you see right there, baptism doth also now save us. Well, that's what a part of the verse says. The picture comes from Noah being in the ark, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. If you wanted to use verse 21 as a proof text that baptism saves, you would have to float somebody around in a boat for over a year in the baptistry, if you're trying to follow literally from verse 20. And I don't mean to sound ridiculous, but that's, I mean, if you're using this as a proof text, you need to do what was done, not do what you think. The truth of the matter is, Peter clearly calls baptism, in verse 21, a figure, the like figure. Okay? So you make sure that you get that straight. All right, another verse that is used oftentimes to prove infant baptism is Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 is a great verse of Scripture concerning salvation, but it doesn't have anything to do with being saved by water baptism. The Bible says in Titus 3, 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There, the washing of regeneration is used as a proof text, but not by washing in water. You're washed, if anything, in the Word of God. According to Ephesians 5:26 and John 15:3, Jesus said in John 15:3 to his disciples, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So you got to be careful with these things. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So the washing of regeneration is not a water baptism. Do you see how we're going? See how this is developing? All right, let me give you some more. I'm trying not to, I want to feed you well, but I don't want to lose you, so to speak, in a bunch of verses. In Galatians 3:27, Paul said that in baptism you put on Christ. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, men will say that baptism is the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you need to be careful, because in Galatians 3:27 and in Romans chapter 6, neither one of those has anything to do with water baptism. They both have to do with the baptism by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." That's not a baptism by a preacher in water. That is baptism by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. That's what Galatians 3:27 is about, and that's what Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 are about. But I can't tell you how many Roman Catholic funerals I've been to in my life. Many, many, many. And every time that I've gone to those, at some point the priest will say in the funeral something about the person's baptism, and refer that baptism is what gave them eternal life, and he will refer to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. I've heard it in Methodist churches and Presbyterian churches as well. All of those indicate that all of those churches, like Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian and others, are implying that Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 and Galatians 3:27 are water baptism. They're not. As a matter of fact, you won't find mention of the word water anywhere in the entire book of Romans. Oh, another text that's used is Luke chapter 3, verse 3, where John baptized for the remission of sins. You knew that if you've been a Bible reader, Luke chapter 3, verse 3, you knew that John's baptism was a baptism for the remission of sins, a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, Luke 3:3 says. But John's baptism doesn't save. It didn't save anybody back then. And you know that because in Acts chapter 19, when Paul comes up to Ephesus, he finds some disciples who aren't saved, and he asks them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said in Acts chapter 19, verse 3, "Unto John's baptism." So John's baptism didn't help them. I mean, it did to an extent that it brought them to a place where they were ready to hear more about Jesus Christ. But Paul had to show them in Acts chapter 19, verse 4, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Totally different deal. So though he baptized for the remission of sins, baptism didn't remit the sins in the sense that you see in Acts chapter 19. It didn't. They still needed to be saved. A very popular verse, and I'll give you some that are very popular here. A very popular verse for teaching that baptism saves you is Mark 16:16. If you ever get tangled up with a Church of Christ and there's an argument as to whether or not water baptism saves, you're gonna go round and round with some verses that we're looking at right now. And one of the verses you're gonna go round and round on would be Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And they're going to give you the first part of that verse. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." They'll say, "Don't you see that water baptism is essential for salvation?" Well, you need to read the whole verse, because it says if he believes not, he's damned. So it's not the baptism that saves him, it's the belief. That's why Paul said to the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." You have to be real careful about proving a false doctrine with Scripture. Because, man, you can, I'm telling you, you can go round and round and round, just keep coming back over the same verses, and it's tough. You know, another verse that's used is Acts chapter 22, verse 16. And, you know, if you're not able to take notes while you're hearing this and you feel like you're losing track, don't concern. All we're doing is covering those verses in the event you can take them down. If you can't, you can always go to our website, which will be announced at the end of the broadcast, and you'll see this particular message posted under the radio broadcasts for today, and you'll find all these verses listed. So don't overtax yourself trying to pay attention. Just get the gist of what you're seeing. There are a lot of verses that speak about things like water and like baptism, but none of them say anything about baptismal regeneration or infant baptism, which is what we're speaking about today. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias says to Paul, or Saul, this is Paul recounting his testimony, Ananias said to him in Acts 22:16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." I had a fellow in the Church of Christ tell me one time, you see right there, the baptism washed away his sins. But if you read that verse, he says, "Be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So it's calling on the name of the Lord that took care of his sin problem, not the baptism. And you say, how do you know that? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. See, it goes like this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's nothing in there about baptism. And there doesn't have to be, because the baptism, as you've already seen, is done by the Spirit of God the moment he confesses Christ and he's put into the body of Christ by the Spirit, not by the water. Now, in just a couple more verses, in Acts chapter 2, verse 28 through and 29, the believing Jews were baptized for the remission of sins. But you have to remember, they weren't baptized to get remission, because they were already forgiven in Luke 23:34, when the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's a very special case going on in Acts chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. It deals very, very specifically with those Jews that were present. You're not hearing the gospel preached there, and their concern is what to do now that they had crucified the Lord Jesus. Very, very specific deal. Not for you, not for baptismal regeneration. One more is Luke chapter 7, verse 30. People who reject God refuse to be baptized. That's those Pharisees that came to John's baptism. And you had some soldiers and you had some publicans being baptized, and the Pharisees weren't baptized. They sought to take him. Let's see. Luke chapter 7, verse 30, the Pharisees wouldn't be baptized. So people are saying, see right there, if you reject God and refuse to be baptized, then you're going to go to hell. But that's, well, you got to watch out with these folks. The Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Again, they refused to be baptized by John's baptism. But this doesn't show that people who got baptized were saved. It's just adding ammunition. Okay, so now, we've looked at a lot of verses, Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus Christ said he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, John chapter 3, verse 5, and Matthew 28:19, 1 Peter 3:18 to 22, Titus 3:5, gone through a lot of verses, and all of these are combined together by people who believe in baptism to tell you, see, the Bible says babies need to be baptized. You haven't read in one of those verses where babies were baptized, and you haven't read in one of those verses where baptism saves. It's a figure of salvation, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, but it's not salvation. So, in order then to take these verses, which they say show you that water baptism is essential for salvation, they'll show you that babies need to be baptized by doing some funny things. They'll say, for instance, that infant baptism is typified in the Bible by circumcision. And since babies were circumcised, therefore babies need to be baptized. Jesus said to the children, "Come unto me." And the people who believe in infant baptism will tell you, well, this is the way that children come unto Jesus Christ. And they'll tell you that infant baptism fulfills the promise to your children. In other words, when the Philippian jailer got saved, and Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house," that when they went in there to the Philippian jailer's house, they baptized everybody and the babies, whether they received Jesus Christ or not. They'll tell you that baptism precedes a later giving of the Holy Ghost, so that the infants have to be baptized and then they can receive the Holy Spirit when they're older. And they'll show you Acts chapter 19, which we've already seen, verses 1 through 6 for that. And they'll tell you that since infants are too young to take the initiative for salvation, then Jesus responds to the faith of their parents, okay, because that it bestows some sort of a unmerited spiritual benefit on the child. And, man, you got to really be careful. I give you in the notes for this, I give you some real good scripture for these things that you can actually read when you go to the internet and get the post. Let me just say this, because I know this is a labor to listen to this many verses. None of these verses that are used to prove the false doctrine of infant baptism have anything whatsoever to do with infants being baptized. I mean, if you were to read each of these verses in the Bible, in their context, as you're reading through the Bible, you would never conclude that water baptism saves, or that the church is supposed to baptize babies to wash away original sin. I'll tell you, they baptized me as a baby, and I guarantee you, it didn't wash away any original sin. I was plenty bad. Now listen, you'd have to come up with the doctrine of infant baptism from another source, and then you'd have to come to the Bible and start looking through the Bible for a way to prove that you had the right doctrine. In other words, infant baptism comes from outside of the Scripture, and the Scriptures are simply used to prove something somebody else thought up without the Scripture, because I've read through this thing cover to cover many, many times. And you'll never come to the conclusion that babies need to be baptized by simply reading the Bible. It is a religious doctrine, not a Bible doctrine. Now, let me tell you something. I'll tell you why babies don't need to be baptized. And if you hadn't gotten anything out of the message, get this. Babies don't have to be baptized because, according to Romans 4:15, Romans 5:13, and Deuteronomy 1:39, they are already safe. They are. And you know why? They are safe because they have no knowledge of the law. I had a lady call me one time, and she asked me about whether or not her baby who had died would be with the Lord in heaven. And I said, yes, absolutely. She said, well, my baby wasn't baptized. I said, doesn't make any difference. Romans 4:15 says, because where no law is, there is no transgression, and to a baby they have no idea. Romans 5:13 says, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. And you say, well, the law is here. Well, of course it's here, but the truth of the matter is babies don't understand it. In Deuteronomy 1:39, Moses said, moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. They didn't have any knowledge of the law. Where there's no knowledge of the law, there's no sin. I mean, don't you remember Jesus Christ's own words when there was a question as to whether or not the people who wanted him to, you know, touch their children or hold their children or receive their children, you know, whether there was any factor there? You know what the Lord said? Jesus called on them and he said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Watch it, for of such is the kingdom of God. No baptism. They're just in. They're safe because they don't have any knowledge of the law. Now, when they're old enough to know about sin against God, and they're old enough to know about its consequence of an eternity in hell, then they need to receive Jesus Christ by faith. Just like you do if you're not saved. If you've been dependent upon your infant baptism, your baptism in water to save you, listen, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ, not in your baptism. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No baptism there. That baptism that you have is a baptism that should follow your faith in Jesus Christ. It follows your salvation by faith in the Lord. It's by immersion in water after you've made a confession of your faith in Christ. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Confess in Christ first, then he was baptized in water. So listen, if you're counting on your baptism that you had when you were an infant or sometime later to save you, and that's what you're looking to, that's not salvation. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, not in your water baptism. Though water baptism is something you have after your salvation. If you lost a child that was not baptized, listen, don't despair. Because your child is safe in that he had no knowledge of the law. Deuteronomy 1:39. And if you're debating whether or not you should baptize your baby, don't do that. Raise your baby in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then when he has the knowledge of the law and when he knows about sin against God and its consequences, then lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ that he may put his faith in Christ alone. That's what saves you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.